We invite you to open up your Bibles as we join Pastor Jin Lau for today's message.
How big is your Father's love for you? Have you been so loved by your Father? Where your Father said, "My love for you is as big as the whole wide world"? Maybe a few of us have been fortunate to experience a love from the Father. But I have an inkling, I have a guess, that for many of us, that's not true. That for many of us, we did not experience the Father's love. And that's why it's hard for us to identify with people like what we have seen in video. But we can identify with the adult child who has a problem with her father. Last week, we started our Christmas series, and we call this, It's All About Christmas. And we talked about how messy our families are. Remember? Our own families are messy, but even the Lord Jesus Christ, His family, as we looked at the genealogy at Matthew chapter 1, it's all messy. And just like your family and mine, they're all messy. But the not-so-surprising thing is that you and I are messy also. We live a messy life. So we call last week's message, My Family's a Mess. But today, I'd like our message to be called, My Father's the Best. My Father's the Best. Now, some of you are saying, wait a second, Pastor Jin. My father, I did not have a very good father. And I'm very sorry for that if you did not have a very good father. That you can say, My Father's the Best. My purpose for this is not to live in the past where we had horrible experiences of our own fathers, if our fathers have not been good. My purpose is not to put a blaming finger on them. My purpose for us today is to fully embrace that we came from a mess. Our fathers may not be the best, but that we need to be healed from that so that in order to move on and experience what God is offering us, a newness of life, a newness in the family that He's inviting us to. Let me share to you my own experience. I grew up with a father who was there physically. But other than that, I did not experience being fathered at all. I did not experience my father talking to me. I don't recall a time when we would sit down and talk. We did not talk about school. We did not talk about girls. We did not talk about a career. We did not talk about anything. My father was there, but we did not talk. I don't recall going to the movies with him. I don't recall eating at McDonald's. You know why? There was no McDonald's then in the Philippines. Hamburger was an unusual food then. But there were no expressions of love from my father. No expression at all. No hugs, no nothing. But I would like to attribute that, and I would not like to blame my father for not loving me and not bringing me up. In fact, there was a time in my adult life when Jin and I were already married. I think Jade was born already. 3 years into marriage, I longed to be fathered. I longed so much to be fathered. I was part of a missionary conference, and I longed for this older gentleman to meet with me so that we can just talk. I longed to be fathered. I was never fathered. But I would like to attribute my father's non-expression in so many factors. My dad was from China. He left China when it was during the time of revolution of Mao Zedong. And so it was very difficult. I can imagine. It must be very scary for my dad to go to the Philippines. He has never been there. He doesn't speak the language. It must be very scary for a young man like him to go and venture out there just because of the turmoil that was going on in China. He cannot speak the language. Even until his last day, it was a struggle for him to speak the dialect in the Philippines. It was the time of war. You can imagine that. It's not easy. It was hard. He was also significantly older than my mother. Some of you met my mother when she visited last summer. My mother is 84 years old now this year. If my father were alive, he would have been 107 now. That's how old he was. He was 79 when he died. I was only 20 years old. He was a lot older. other than that, there were 8 of us, not including 2 other kids from previous marriage. You see, before, they did not have Facebook. They did not have games to play with. They didn't have radio or TV. And so there were 8 of us, and that explains the many numbers, that he could not even spend time with me anymore, being the youngest of 8. I don't know what it was like in your own family. Maybe I have an inkling it's similar. Because for many of us, we grew up in a family where they came from wartime. It was difficult. Financially, life was so difficult. They were struggling. And maybe your parents are like mine. All they did was work, work. Why? Why do parents work so hard? To send us where? To school. To have a good education, right? Makapag-aral lang kayo. Hindi na bale. If we would break our backs para makapag-aral lang. Why? Because they would like to provide you and me a good life, right? You remember? Is that about right, your experiences? Many of you are nodding. And so it's similar. There's no verbal expression of love. Maybe they don't say, I love you. Maybe their way of showing love is they would provide for you food to eat, the school bag, books, and anything else. That's their expression of love. And yet I know that some of us here may not have a very good experience with our fathers. Maybe you did not have a father when you grew up. Maybe he was absentee. Maybe you had a father who was very hard to please. Some of us had very tough fathers coming again from wartime. It's so hard for them to even just say, you're doing good. Not even a positive word. It's hard. Maybe that's your experience. Maybe some of you have been hurt so deeply by your father. Not just for an hour, not just for a day, not just for weeks or months, but even maybe for years. Maybe you've been hurt in your entire time with your father. Maybe that's your experience. Maybe some of us have been abused by our own fathers. And if that's you, I'm very sorry. Again, my purpose today is not to say, oh, that's the reason why I'm like this today, because of my father. My purpose today is not to point a finger on our fathers. But my purpose today is to understand that we came from a messy situation, messy family, and if that is you, there is hope for you. There is hope for me, because the Lord is inviting us into a new family. And so this is the story of Christmas, which provides us this hope. But before we jump into our study on fathers today, I'd like to just address primarily the fathers, but practically every one of us, those who are dealing with children, mothers, aunties, uncles, but primarily fathers. Listen to this. Your role and my role is to reflect the father heart of God. One of the reasons why it's so hard for people to go to church today is because they don't have a positive picture of the Father. And they don't like that picture. That's why they don't come to church. I am not proud to say this. My son, Jade, has been struggling. And I said, Jade, I'm sorry. I have not been the best father to you. But let my weakness not hinder you from discovering who God really is. And I pray that you and I will take this challenge. Some of you are saying, I wish I heard this warning 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago. But by God's grace, you have been reached today. And so if you are listening today, I'd like you to do your part right now to reflect the Father heart of God. Because that's the way people come to know Jesus, come to know God. So, let's jump into our study on the focus of the Father, who brought us all so that we can all be a family. So again, this is called, It's All About Family. And I'd like for us to focus on a particular passage in the Scripture. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And as you are turning there, I'd like to just briefly say this, the reason why it's hard for us to become so acceptable of the Father's love is we did not grow up with a very positive experience with the Father. Maybe our fathers were messed up. They were hurt. And so the only thing that they knew was to do the same thing to us. But not only our fathers, it's unfortunate that even churches have not given us a very positive picture of what a father is. Some of you have been disillusioned by pastors. Some of you have been disillusioned by church ministers and leaders. And that's very sad. Some of us have not experienced the unconditional love of the Father. A Father who says, my love for you is as big as the whole wide world. Last week I mentioned to you that the reason why it's hard for us to believe is because the pattern that we have been following is the world's pattern. There are two models that I shared last week, if you can remember, those of you who were here last week. The first model was the religion model. And this is what religion tells us. You have to behave at a certain way. Okay? You have to behave. You have to be good. You have to dress up this way. You should not do this and that. You should behave in a certain way. Then you can come to church. You can believe in certain doctrines, and then you can belong to a church. Does that make sense? This is a religion model. You have to behave first before you can belong. Now, there is the business model. Look at this. And think about your workplace right now, or workplaces that you have been. This is the business model. You have to believe. Believe in yourself. Believe in the best in you. Let it come out. Believe in the system. Believe in what we do for the organization. Believe in that, and then you can become somebody. You can become a supervisor. You can become a manager. You can become successful. And when you are there, then you can belong. Does that make sense? These two models, the religion and the business, they are the same in this. You have to do something before you can belong. You have to perform. You have to prove to me that you're good before you can be accepted. Your boss can tell you, do this. That's why there is a contractual thing, right? You are under probation before you can be accepted and become a permanent. You have to prove yourself first. This is the environment that you and I, all of us, grew up in. Very conditional. If you're good, then you can belong. Then you can be accepted. But let's look at God's... Do you remember, before we turn, do you remember God's family's model, those of you who are here? What was the first? Those of you who are here. The first is belong. The very first is belong. Again, this is very much the story of Christmas. Jesus came down. King of heaven, come down. He came down because you already were accepted. God said, you know what? You're so messy, but I love you anyway. I'm coming down to rescue you. I would like to save you. I'd like to redeem you. Now, were we worth redeeming? Were we worth saving? No. None of us were good enough for God. But did God show us kindness and mercy? Did God show us kindness and mercy? Amen, right? He did show us kindness and mercy. And that's why this model is what we would like to go back again. God has already accepted you and me. You already belong. You are loved. You are accepted. Now you can believe because He is good. You don't have to perform. God says, come, I accept you already. And then you can become somebody. You can become fishers of men. You can become a discipler. You can become who God made you to be. So let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. If you're using the Bible that's provided here by the church, it's in page 1209. 1 John chapter 4. And I'd like to highlight from 4, verses 4 to 16, three things here. Let's read. Verse 6, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever's not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth. Actually, we should read verse 4. Can we go back to verse 4. You, dear children, this is written by the Apostle John, who was much older, and he's written this book to the believers. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them referring to the false prophets, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. This is again contesting the false doctrines of the false prophets. Verse 6, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever does not come from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. You are from God. In fact, this is a sub-point in your first point here. You are made by God. You're made by God. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you might be good in the Bible, but you are not very smart. Don't you see? I'm made by my parents. Yes, you are made by your parents. But there's something behind just the biological aspect of you being made by your parents. I'd like for us to look at Psalm 139. You don't have to turn there. It's here in the screen. Psalm 139, look at this. Let's read this together aloud, please. You alone created my inner being. You knitted me together inside my mother. I will give thanks to you because I have been so amazingly and miraculously made. Your works are miraculous, and my soul is fully aware of this. My bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, when I was being skillfully woven in an underground workshop. Your eyes saw me when I was still an unborn child. Every day of my life was recorded in your book before one of them had taken place. How precious are your thoughts concerning me, O God. How vast in number they are. Have you ever felt that way before God? That God really thought about you? God made you. He created you when you were in your mother's womb. He knitted you. I like the word picture there. Like knitting, you know? God made you so intricately beautiful, wonderful. And that's how God was so loving. You are made by God. You also bear the image of God. We know this already. We visited Genesis before. When God created the world, God said, let us make man in whose image? In our own image, right? We are the only creature in all creation. Human beings are the only ones bearing the image of God. And you can revisit that in the scripture that's written there. So you were made by God. You bear the image of God. In fact, I'd like you to look at your seatmate. That person bears the image of God. Believe it or not. And sometimes you say, are you sure? Yes. The person sitting beside you bears the image of God. You were made by God. You bear the image of God. And here is the thing that I'd like to bring it more personally. God is your Father. God is your Father. Put a finger there or a bookmark on 1 John because we would go back there. But turn to Isaiah. If you can turn to the Old Testament, Isaiah, that's before Jeremiah. It's after Psalm. If you are using the Church Bible, it's in page 742. Isaiah 64. Isaiah chapter 64. When Isaiah was written, this book was written by the prophet when Israel was rebelling against God. And so listen to how they have been very, very stubborn, stiff-necked. They have not been following God. But look at how the prophet expresses to God. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that you would tear down the heavens so that you would come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. Israel was battling different kinds of nations also then. Verse 3, for when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. This is Isaiah's declaration. There is no other God than this God. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Verse 7, no one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. When we have sinned, this is exactly what happens. We feel like so far away from God. We are so distant. In verse 8, look at how the prophet turns. This is the climax here and the twist of his declaration. Yet, O Lord, can you read that with me? You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. And so the prophet actually continues, do not be angry, Lord God. Please forgive us from our sins. And that's, I pray, that would be the prayer of our hearts as well. When we have not been faithful to God, Father, forgive us. And so even when they have been failing God time and again, the prophet recognized that God is their Father. Let me ask you this. Some of us, especially from the Catholic background, keep praying the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. But is God your Father? Is there an intimacy that you would say, God, you really are my Father? Is he the Father who loves? Is he the Father who cares? Is he the Father who says, my love for you is as big as the whole wide world? You are from God. Here's the second point. You are loved by God. Please turn back to John, 1 John 4. You are loved by God. And I pray that this would really sink in deep into our hearts, not just in our heads. Verse 7 of chapter 4. 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. So you say, I don't think that's an expression of his love for us, because he's showing his love among us. Let's continue reading. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Consider that we might live through the Son. Verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, since God so loved you, you ought to love one another. This is the story of Christmas. Because of God's love, there is the very first Christmas. There is the reason why there is the baby in a manger, because of God's atoning sacrifice. He sent his Son. You are loved by God. I have two things when I say you are loved by God. First, God the Father, God, not just the Father, even the Son and the Holy Spirit, they are always loving. God is always loving. Listen to this. There was never a time that God was never loving. I'd like to say that again. There's never a time that God is not loving. Some of us might be struggling that there were situations in our lives, especially those associated with pain, that we can say, is that really loving? Is God really loving when I was suffering? That is the age-old question that many philosophers continue to battle today. How can a loving God allow evil and suffering? Here's the thing that I'd like for us to just settle in our hearts. We will not go deep into that, but everything is not, the evil things are not initiated by God, okay? But God allows things to pass through his office. He allows things to happen. But God has never stopped being a loving father to us, even when we were hurting. Imagine with me, if my son, John, would ask, Papa, can I have the car keys today? Do you think I should give the car keys to John, my son, right now? Huh? Come on. Why not? He's too young. He cannot reach the pedals. He's too young. He doesn't know how to drive. But people his age, young people, they like to show off and be cool, right? So even if John would throw a tantrum, even if he would roll on the floor and kick everything and he would scream, I will not give him the car keys. I will not give him the car keys. Because that's a loving thing. Some of us have been asking God, God, why don't you save me? Why don't you heal me? Why don't you give this thing? Why don't you provide for me? I need a job. I need money. God, we'd hold something. But we don't know what God has in mind. But let it settle in your heart that there is never a time that God has not been loving. He has always been loving. That's the God that we know. It's not the God of the religion, but this is the God of the Bible. God has always been loving. And so let that sink in into our hearts. It would not be good for me to give John the car keys because he might hurt himself and the motorists around him on the road if he would start to drive. Romans 5:8, look at this. And I'd like for you to memorize Romans 5:8. Let's read aloud together. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. The verse prior to that said that if you were an important person, maybe somebody will die for you. But you're nobody. You and I were nobody. In fact, worse than that, we're sinners. We're not worth God's attention. And yet what he did to demonstrate his love for us is that the first Christmas happened. Christ came, the baby in a manger, humbly, in order for us to be saved, so that he might die on the cross. He demonstrates his love for us while we were still sinners. That's very, very clear. When you were so not lovable, God demonstrates his love. And he died for us. So God is always loving, but not only always loving, God is always giving. God is always giving. John 3:16, we all know that, for God so loved the world that he gave. He always gives. And he gave his best, his one and only son. Fathers always give. Some of you right now have been thinking, especially those with smaller kids, you've been thinking of what to give for Christmas, right? Have you bought your gifts already? You can still go to Home Depot or one. You are thinking of giving because that's just the nature of a father. When I was on, my dad died in 1986. So I only have my mother. 2 years ago, in 2012, my family and I had a chance to go back to the Philippines and visit and had a wonderful vacation. And some of you knew that the Duwalos family also went there because they had a wedding to attend. And so we had such a great time. Davao City, beautiful, the beaches. I would love to take you there on a tour if you would like. You just have to pay for my fare, first class. No. I'd love to be your tour guide. No, kidding. When we went to the beach, I was telling my mother, we were all packed, Ma, we're going. And so my mother said, before you go, here. She handed me an envelope. I know it was money. I said, Ma, no, we're good. She said, and she has her typical way of expressing, she would get mad. No, you should get that one. You should get the money. No, you know that. Some of them, that's how they express their love. I was not wanting to get that because I did not want to be a burden to my mother. I received that because that's how she is. She just wants to give. In fact, what she did, some of you might have heard, she called all my siblings before we left and go, hey, give to your brother, your youngest brother. Give money to him. That's the kind of parent she is. And the father is the same thing, the same way. The father always gives. The father always gives. My mother is like that. And so when I was a little boy, I remember I told my mother, Ma, when I grow up, I'd like to be successful because I want to buy you a car. I'd like to give you something. And it never happened. And just like many of us, you know, it's just good intentions. Today, if you ask your child, if whether they're young or old, would you like to buy me something? I ask my son, would you care to buy me something when you have a job already? What's their answer? Huh? Is that what they said to you? They will buy you a house? Well, you are fortunate because my son said, you wish. There's not even an intention anymore. I don't know if your kids have told you, I'll buy you something when I have a job. And that's good. You are fortunate. Bless you. But for many, not even an intention anymore. Not even a desire. This is love. God is always loving. God is always giving. He sent his son. That's why there was Christmas. And how was this love expressed? This kind of love, it's not a Hallmark kind of love. It's not a mushy, sentimental, heartwarming kind of love. This is a tough love. This is a sacrificial love. There's an old radio program adage that says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. That's the kind of love the Father has for us. He is always loving. He's always giving. So see, first, we understand that you are from God. God made you. You bear his image. He's your father. You have been adopted into his family. And then you are loved by God. He is always loving, who's always giving. And then a third thing is that God is inviting you. You are invited to respond to that. Because God is not a robot making God. He does not force you or coerce you to respond to his love. He invites you and me. See how amazing this love is. Sometimes we wish our kids would love us in return, don't we? We wish that they would respond to our love. There are people in our lives that we love so much, and yet what do they give us? Anong sukli nila? Headache. We wish they would, right? Now, this is what God did. You and I, God said, I wish you would love also. But he is not like that. He invites us to respond to his love. Let's read, continue 1 John 4, starting with verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Verse 13, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. This is the reason why we can believe. God has accepted us. We can believe in this. Verse 15, this is the point now. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. You are invited to respond. Acknowledge that Jesus is God. That he is the Lord of your life. And if you do that, God, I surrender my life because you're Lord, you're my master. That's how we are supposed to respond. In verse 16, so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. The response that he's asking us is to acknowledge that Jesus is God and to love him in return and to love others. Because Jesus summarized the whole commandment, love God and love others. 3 weeks ago at Costco in Chula Vista, there was about 6-year-old girl. She was with her mother and they were pushing the cart. By the way, Let me just warn you, if you go to Costco, just be ready with your battle gear. It's dangerous there right now in Christmas season. Anyway, they were pushing the cart, and the mother was done shopping, and she was returning the cart, but the girl wanted to play. The mother said, "Let's go," and she was not happy. But the girl wants to play. And the mother came and approached the girl, and she said, "Do you want me to send you to the orphanage?" Some of us have heard threats like that. Because you need to perform first. You need to behave. You need to believe and listen. You have to listen and obey. Then I can love you. But if you will not, then I will send you to the orphanage. Let me tell you this. Our Father will never send you to the orphanage. The Father's love is so intact that whether you messed up, and you have messed up many times, I can tell. And I have messed up many times. And yet God says, "I love you." And you know how much I love you? My love for you is as big as the whole wide world. And I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are messy. And you need to know that. But yet, you need to know that you are so accepted. I will never do that. Because nothing, if you would look at Romans chapter 8, nothing will separate us from the love of God. It's not height, it's not depth, it's not the angels, not the demons. It's not life, it's not death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. What does this mean for us as we land this message right now? First, you belong to God. You need to write that down, not just on your head, but let it sink down into your heart. You belong to God. You belong to no one else. When we understand that we belong to God, we will act like we are from God. Unfortunately, we live like we are in the world because we have been so programmed as the world lives. Let us not follow the patterns anymore of the world. When I say you belong to God, you don't need to perform anymore. Last Sunday, I was asked, and this is one of the good questions. Somebody told me, the message was good, but now what do we do? So what now? That's a good question, by the way. And I hope you would always ask, what now? This is the essence of belonging to God, okay? The essence is that we would understand first. We are always doing, because we are so programmed to perform. I need to perform in order for me to be accepted so that I can become somebody. No, you are already loved. So what I'd like for us to do is for us to really understand, let this go down to our hearts, that we are loved by God. You belong to God. You don't do good in order to be accepted. And I pray that you are understanding God's love, and in response, you're doing good. You are responding by loving God and loving others. Secondly, you can believe in God. In 1 John 5, everyone who believes that Jesus, 1 John 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus, the Christ, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. We can believe this. Because God loves us already, and He has accepted you, and you can believe. So what I'd like for us to do is to become a child of God. Not just theoretically, not just here, but fully in the way you live. Let's bask in this idea. Basking in the truth that God really loves you. You know what basking means? This is not Baskin Robbins, okay? Basking means to lie exposed. To lie exposed in the warmth of the light. Who among you were awakened by the coldness this morning? Were you cold this morning? Some of you were so cold. I wish I was basking in the sunlight because it was too cold already for me. We don't have our heaters on. We don't turn our heaters, but it became too cold. I had to go to the bathroom. And I had to turn on a small heater for our son. It's the basking means to be exposed to the sun, the warmth of the sun. This morning's cold morning was a perfect time to bask in the sunlight. It's warm and it's light. And I pray that this is what we would do today. And we would like to start with just reflecting on this song. Some of you have heard this song. The song is How He Loves Us. If you don't know the song, read through the words in the, on the screen. Let it sink in. And then when it comes to the chorus, just repeat the chorus, because it's very simple. How He Loves Us. Oh, how He loves us. Let it sink in to you. That's how we can start. And I pray that as a result, we would be so full of God's love, we would be able to overflow and give love as well. Let's worship God. Let's bask on God's love.